Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
What's happening? Thanks for joining us. Sorry we're late. Some technical difficulties kept us down, but not out. Speaking of down, debut downer. No big deal. Rafael Devers did have two hits. Casey Schmidt was shit. That makes that rhymes. And it was true. The tag by Lee? Should he have tagged? Probably would have been out. I do have a full review of the press conference yesterday and lots of stuff from Rafael Devers, some from Bob Melvin, some interesting things from Buster Posey. So if you want to see that entire review, I do have that up at John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, as well as where to get your favorite podcast. So if you want to do that whole thing, you can do it after today's show. I do have a couple of cuts, but I don't want to ruin that whole episode. So I've just got a couple of those. So we'll do that today as well. Let me get myself on the screen in a normal fashion. There we go. That looks good. Welcome. We got a great show today for episode 169. Very nice. If you are new around here, please make sure you subscribe to John Lund Unleashed. At the very least, a like would be greatly appreciated because that helps the algorithm say that we don't suck so much that actually the show is kind of worth it. So thank you for that as well. You see that big B in the left bottom corner there. That is Bay Area Sports Collective. That is my show, John Lund Unleashed, a bunch of former KBR guys. You've also got Tom Tolbert. You got Polymax Particles. Today is Wednesday, so they'll do the night shift, right? The night flight for Polymax Particles with Creative Tony. Rod Brooks is here as well, and a quality hang with Rod Brooks, plus the great Amy G. Remember her from Giants broadcasts, and she does a great YouTube show and podcast on women in media. And then you got former Giant Jeremy Affeldt as well. So that is the Bay Area Sports Collective. We're also always adding, and I don't even know when the shows are on all the time, so make sure that you have your alerts on there, as well as here on John Lund Unleashed. Welcome this morning to those watching on X at John Lund Radio. We always get a bunch of people watching on X, so please, if you would like, please migrate over. That would be tremendous if you would migrate over to John Lund Unleashed if you're watching there. But that is cool that you're watching however you're watching. I appreciate it. Also on Instagram, good morning to those watching on Instagram at John Lund Unleashed. Maybe LinkedIn, Facebook, my Facebook, John Lund, which is my personal account, which we can be friends. And also on John Lund Unleashed, I put stuff up there as well. So any way that you're watching, thank you, thank you, thank you. Maybe you're watching a little bit later. Maybe you're listening on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcast. However you're doing it, please make sure you subscribe, like, and tell all your friends and enemies so that we can grow this great community that we have started. All right, we got a lot of things to get to today. The chalkboard, which if you know around here, right there to the right of me, or left, depending on how you're standing. We'll go through that. We'll say a roll call this morning as well and say hello to those in the chat room this morning. So good morning to everybody, and we'll do that in just one second. But you know what we've got to do here. We've got to thank our fine sponsor, Dr. Jeffrey Reappell and Reappell Sports Medicine. If you click on that QR code right there, you could feel as good as my wife. You're like, what? What are you talking about? She's had issues with her elbow, her shoulder, her foot. And Dr. Reappell has taken care of it. I don't know how stem cell works. I just know this, that Dr. Reappell is one of the best. He is one of the first to do stem cell in California. He did it for Bartolo Colon. He only pitched till he was about 900 years old. So that kind of probably works. I don't know the science behind it. I just know my wife used to put ice packs all over herself. She couldn't, we'd go on walks and runs and things like that. She'd be like, man, my foot is killing me. That's not the case anymore, because of Dr. Reappell. She says it all the time, and I've told you this, Vegas, Arizona, we've been to some different places lately on business. She's like, I couldn't be doing this without Dr. Reappell. So first and foremost, Dr. Reappell is the master of, and those are my words, of stem cell treatments. And so there's that. Now, if you can't get to that QR code, all you got to do is look them up. Your favorite search engine, Reappell, is spelled R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E. Dr. Jeffrey Reappell is right there in San Ramon. Certainly worth it if you're in the East Bay, and more than worth it if you're not. I'm telling you, you can do the low T with me, go in there every few months, do the blood test. Then he hits me up, and I'm good for like 3 or 4 months at a time. And I was doing this before for years, getting shots every single day, or excuse me, every single week. And it's so much more convenient, works great. metabolism is faster. I feel better. You just feel like yourself again. I highly recommend low T with Dr. Riopelle. And as I always tell you every single day, it's not, those aren't just the only treatments he does and the group does there. Make you look better, feel better, men, women, whatever the case may be. Just check out the website, Dr. Riopelle, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E. You can Google it or use your favorite search engine. Thank you very much. All right, episode 169, 1 year since Willie Mays has passed away and the great Raj Mathai last year. Who's the best? Voiced the eulogy for Willie Mays, and it was absolutely amazing. So I'm going to play that for you before anything today. Devers debut, he was good. Runners in scoring position, one for 13 was not. I don't know what Casey Schmidt was thinking in the eighth inning. Should Lee have tagged on that play? Probably would have been out, but you put the pressure on the defense. Leave it up to Casey Schmidt. He doesn't get it done. Buster had a really interesting thing to say in the presser. And again, I'm not going to give you everything from the presser yesterday. I'll give you just a few cuts because I don't want to spoil an episode I did yesterday. As I told you, I would right after the press conference, I put out an episode breaking down probably about, I don't know, 15 cuts, a couple from Bob, a few from Buster, a lot from Rafi, and just talking about how he's going to be with the Giants, how he's feeling, Boston, the ballpark, the money, all those kind of things, how he's going to fit, where he's going to play. All those things are in an episode at John Lund Unleashed that recaps the press conference yesterday. So I'll do a little bit of that here today, but the majority of it, just go find that episode. I did it yesterday in the afternoon. So all you got to do is check for that one. So that's at johnlundunleashed.com on YouTube. So check that out one as well. But I do have the Buster Tradition, Rafi on the park, Bob Melvin on the position he's going to play, all those kind of things. I have a garlic fried thing just because I'm so mad that if you're a regular watcher or listener of the show, John Lund Unleashed, you know that my dad was officially the Fry Man. That was his license plate. And I don't mean fry as in acid. I mean fry as in French fries. That was his profession. He sold them. He bought them. He was a food distributor. And on his license plate in Idaho, famous potatoes, the potato capital of the world, he had Fry Man on there. And for a brief period of time out of college, when I wasn't sure that I could make it in media and was making about $12,000 a year as a writer, going, I can't live like this. He said, well, I'd come to work for me for a year. And I went through potato plants and French fries and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, okay, after a year, I was like, this isn't for me. This gives me all the motivation I need to bust my ass in media, which I did. And 30 years later, here we are. But I know the business a little bit, but he was just obsessed with fries. I told you this, we would dumpster dive after we would eat at restaurants because he wanted to know what kind of fries a certain restaurant or chain was using and if he could beat that deal. And it was just his whole life. So they did a thing on garlic fries, and I'm like, I got to play this on the show. And then the last thing it says right there is Gio at Fenway. I sent this out on social media at John Lund Unleashed. So just a quick once over before I get into everything today and say good morning to everyone. And I guess you could call this a little bit of an offshoot today, as I don't have that up there today, but Gio at Fenway. So my son is a huge A's fan. We moved here in 2010, and he just was a huge A's fan because when I was working for 95.7 The Game, when it got into existence, I was the pre-half and post guy for the Raiders, and we carried the A's. And so he actually got to do a first pitch at the A's, became an A's fan. The Giants are winning World Series, so he was kind of anti, you know, because all of his friends were Giants fans in East Bay, and so he just became an A's fan. But then as the A's continue to trade players and do all that kind of stuff, it's not that he's not number one still an A's fan. And he's frustrated about Sacramento and Vegas and all those things. But he became kind of a Boston sports fan. We were playing a video baseball game and David Ortiz kept hitting home runs off me. And he was laughing and thought it was the greatest thing ever. And he was, of course, David Ortiz. Took a shine to the Celtics, to the Patriots, unfortunately. And just he's a Boston sports fan. So he's back today. He's working for a team called the Brewster Whitecaps. And if you know anything about baseball, it's the Bat League. It's the Cape Cod League. It's the big league where a lot of the college all-stars go before the draft to prove that they can hit with a wood stick. So almost anybody is anybody. I mean, Buster Posey played there, Pete Alonso, like just oodles and oodles of all-stars and great players and everything. It's the number one summer league. And he is there with a team called the Brewster Whitecaps. And today they were practicing at Fenway Park. So he had full run of Fenway Park as the team practiced. He could walk anywhere. He'd never been to Fenway. And it's so funny. I'll play the video for you at the end of the show. He's talking so fast in the video that I thought he was going to start hyperventilating. He's so excited. So, you know, he's been doing this media thing. He's a senior at Arizona State at the Cronkite Broadcast School, and he's covered a bunch of stuff. He was the beat writer for Arizona State football, Arizona State baseball. He covered the Super Bowl last year. If you've been with the show for a while, he was our correspondent from New Orleans. I mean, he's done some things, especially at his age of 21, that most kids haven't done. So he's not easily shaken or rattled. And I wouldn't say he's shaken or rattled in this video. It's just, you can tell, like, his fandom is just coming through, and it's pretty hilarious. So anyway, we'll play that to end out the show today, and I think you'll get a good laugh out of that. Not that he didn't do a good job, but that he was at Fenway Park going, "Are you kidding me?" Which is a dream of his. So anyway, it was pretty cool to watch that kind of a thing. He sent that to me this morning, very early in the morning. So anyway, I'll get into that as well. But let's say good morning to everybody before we jump into a very busy episode 169. Dom, yeah, you're exactly right. Bobby Evans' secret weapon, the Cape Cod League. It's cool back there. And hopefully we're going to get a chance to go back there this summer to see a Red Sox game with him. But he's basically working every day in the Cape, so we'll see if we can come around. Good morning to Francis and Dom, and John Joseph is here this morning. Good morning to everybody hanging out. Sorry that I was a little bit late. We don't need those stinking badges. Good morning to you. The 1420, the Nutter, it's not a show without you. James, good morning, my friend. Joy, it is always a joy. And another person, it's not a show without Joy, that's for sure. Jake, good morning. I hear you on Casey Schmidt. We shall discuss. Hurleyburg, good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, episode 169, you got me. Kyle is here. Aaron is here. Anthony is here. Great turnout today. Folsom Steve, good morning. Taylor, hello. Rock, one of my favorites, is here today. Kenny Smith is here today, not from TNT. Our Kenny Smith is here today. Danny, good morning. Danny in the Valley of the Sun. It's probably what? Sports Girl for Life. It is amazing to see you again. Very nice to see you on this Wednesday hump day edition of the show. Christopher, one of our loyalists, is here today. Excellent to see everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning. If I did not say good morning to you, I will get to you at some point over the next while as we are together. All right, let's finally get to stuff in episode 169. So I don't mean to bring you down at the beginning of the show, but I think it's more important than anything. I mean, the reason why I'm going to play Willie Mays to start here is not to bring you down, but it's been 1 year. And I can remember, and just like you probably can, we knew he was sick and he was in his 90s. And the way I look at life, or the way I look at death, really, is, you know, if someone dies early, I mean, that's tragic. I mean, my father passed away with pancreatic cancer at the age of 74. And from diagnosis to death was 84 days. They called me about 10 minutes before a show one day. When I was working at 95.7 The Game, it was 10 to noon, and Papa and I were doing the show from noon to 3. And I knew that it was not good when my dad was calling me at 11.50, because he just wouldn't do that. He knows that I'm prepping and everything, but he called me, and I said, "Is everything okay?" And he said, "No." He said, "It's not." He said, "I have stage 4 pancreatic cancer." And right away, I'm like, "We're going to do everything we can. We're going to," you know, and he was like, "Look, it's just too late." And, you know, it floors you. And so that's tragic to me. Or, you know, someone losing their life in a car accident, or just overall, it's just someone passing early it's just the worst. It's just the worst. And Willie Mays dying at, what, 93? I'm not saying it was fun. I'm just simply saying that there's a man that lived an amazing life, and it's a true celebration of life. And I remember when John Miller gave us the news, and remember, the Giants were at Wrigley Field. And it's jarring and shocking. And no matter how old he was, Willie Mays just felt like that figure that was going to live forever. And he was never going to pass. And we knew that he was in poor health and vision was gone and all, you know, all the ailments that happens as you get older. But Willie Mays was just one of those iconic figures, right? And it still hurt. It was still a gut punch when he died at the age of 93. But it was truly a celebration of life. So I'm not playing this to be a bummer to start out the show. I'm playing this because Willie Mays was a celebration of life. And it happened 1 year ago today. And the reason I'm playing it first as well is because one of the things, I don't want to play everything, like I said, from the press conference, because I have a separate show for that I did yesterday. But one of the things Buster Posey said yesterday at the press conference, which is something I'm going to play for you today, one cut from it, which was tradition. And I think that that Farhan Zaidi just didn't understand that his nose was so far into analytics and in a book and all these kind of things, that he forgot what the Giants were. He forgot about the tradition of the Giants. He forgot about the greatness of the Giants. That this is one of the best franchises in baseball. This isn't, you know, and I don't want to disparage anybody, but like, this isn't the Marlins or the Diamondbacks or, you know, a team with very little tradition. This is one of the blue blood franchises in baseball. And Willie Mays and Willie McCovey and Juan Marichal and Orlando Cepeda and Barry Bonds and on and on and on and on and on. This had Gaylord Perry and, you know, just all these players who have come through San Francisco that are amazing players. And this is a Cadillac franchise. And I think that maybe Farhan forgot that. People want to play here. There is a tradition. The Red Sox have a great tradition. But Rafael Devers walked in yesterday and was like, Barry Bonds greeted him. Are you kidding? Like, Buster Posey traded for him. You know, Buster's going to be in the Hall of Fame, three-time World Series champion. I mean, this is one of the upper echelon teams in baseball with a tradition to follow. So I think the Buster is trying to restore that. So that's the reason I want to play this, because I want to play this, and then I want to play what Buster said. And I think it's really, really important. And right away, you can see that Rafael Devers buys into it. But here is 1 year ago today, and the great Raj Mathai honoring Willie Mays, who passed away 1 year ago today at the age of 93.
Ask someone who's the best baseball player of all time. More often than not, the answer is going to be Willie Mays. Not just fans, but fellow Hall of Famers will tell you the same thing.
Well, Mays was just the greatest. I mean, just God-gifted, I guess. But I've never seen anybody better.
Great. It makes it so easy for us.
His last year, I'm playing left field with the Padres. He hit a fly ball to left. It was a little Texas leaguer. I caught the ball. When I caught it, I flipped it in, but I was shaking. My hands were shaking. You know what I mean? I just called Willie Mays fly ball. I called my brother when I went home after we lost, but I called him. I said, I played against Willie Mays today.
There was nothing on the field that Willie Mays couldn't do.
He can take up the whole field and play the whole field, and you're like, really, Willie? And Willie would do it, you know? So that was a gift I didn't have.
Mays became a star for the New York Giants, leading the team to the 1954 World Series championship. When the Giants moved west here to San Francisco in 1958, the city immediately fell in love with the Say Hey Kid.
It's been a really, I guess, good run for me, because when you can come into a town and people love you the same way where you came from, to me, that's wonderful. I think it's just a magnificent type of way of getting along with people.
Mays tried bringing the Bay Area its first World Series title back in 1962, only to fall short, losing that agonizing Game 7 to the Yankees.
It's a shame we just never had a chance to win something more for you since I was playing. 1962 was a good year for us right here. We won the pennant and everything, but we didn't win the whole thing. And that's one of the things I regret.
Though he never won another World Series, Mays was named an All-Star 24 times, and he hit 660 career home runs. He retired with the Mets in 1973 and soon after returned to the Bay Area. In 1993, when his godson, Barry Bonds, signed with the Giants, Mays was once again a fixture at the ballpark.
My dad was my teacher. I mean, Willie was my godfather. I mean, Willie was my idol. There's, you know, two comparisons here. To be a young kid and have a dream to be a baseball player, and then you're the person you idolize is your godfather, I mean, what other gift do you want from that? I mean, all I cared was love, you know, that he cared about me as my godfather, and that I was good enough for him.
Mays loved to smile, and he never lost his desire for that good game of cards in the clubhouse. Even legends from other sports, like Muhammad Ali, would come pay a visit. In 2015, President Obama awarded Mays with the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor. If you ask someone who's the best baseball player of all time, more often.
Sorry about that. We lost that at the end. I thought it was going to go down to, there was a couple more minutes I thought that was left on that whole thing, but it got cut short. But the whole point is that 1 year ago today, that we lost Willie Mays. And I just wanted to play that because yesterday I was starting to think about this, and I knew that today was the year anniversary that Willie Mays had passed away. And I'm going to tie this in, and we're going to get more into what happened yesterday at the press conference. But Buster started talking about tradition was the first thing he said. So Dave Fleming was the master of ceremonies. And like I said, I'm only going to play a few of these cuts because I have an entire show that I did yesterday dedicated. It's only about 20 minutes to the press conference yesterday and my comments and my thoughts and what I saw yesterday and what I heard. So you can go see that at johnlundunleashed.com or John Lund Unleashed on YouTube or johnlundunleashed.com. I've got there as well. But Willie Mays is about tradition, right? And the Giants. And like I said, I think that Farhan forgot about their tradition and he doesn't think it's important. And you see Buster Posey bringing all these guys to spring training. Maybe you don't think that's important, but it is. It's important that people understand what the Giants are, what the Giants were, what the World Series were about, Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, and all these kind of things, because it makes a player think, you know, I do want to play for a franchise like that. I do want to play for a team that has that kind of a tradition. And you could tell that Rafael Devers, when he's met by Barry Bonds, it was like, oh my, I am not worthy. And like I said, I don't have those cuts in this episode today, but I do have it in yesterday's episode. And it's a big thing to me about their tradition. And I love that Buster Posey's bringing that back. And it's because he obviously played here. So let me kind of dovetail off of the Willie Mays, who passed away a year ago today, and why I think it's important. And these were the first things that Buster Posey said at the Rafael Devers press conference yesterday.
Going to spring training, I look around the locker room. It's Mays, McCovey, Cepeda, Marichal, Perry, Bonds, Clark, Kent, to name a few. San Francisco Giants fans love great players. Great players have the ability to transcend generations, and Rafael Devers is one of those players. When Zach and I and the rest of the front office group, we sit around and we talk about players, we look at their skill set. What can they do offensively? What can they do defensively? But inevitably, some baseball speak will come up and we'll say to each other, but is this guy a dude? What does it mean to be a dude in baseball speak? It's not something you can quantify. It's somebody that has the ultimate feel when the game's on the line. He's the type of player that makes his teammates around him better. Rafael Devers is a dude.
Okay, so there's a couple of things there. The tradition, as he starts out by talking about, look, and being a Giant and what it means. And this is, again, where Farhan fell short, is he doesn't understand that. When it's analytics, 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 and you're seeing all these general managers and president of baseball operations, and it doesn't mean that they're not right because they're playing the numbers. It's like being in Vegas and running a roulette wheel or whatever. Eventually it's going to land here over 162 games. It's the perfect sport, really, for analytics because the season is so long that it's probably going to go to the mean at some point. Maybe 17 games isn't enough. Maybe that's why the playoffs are different. They don't always go to the mean in the playoffs in any sport because it's so short. That's why it's different than the regular season. But first of all, the tradition, which I just told you about. And then the second part that he talks about there, if you didn't play the game, especially at the level of Buster Posey, you don't know what a dude is. And Buster Posey and other players around the league, they know that guy's a dude. And that's the perfect way to put Rafael Devers. It would have been nice to get Rhys Hoskins, and hell, maybe they still will. Be nice to get middle Ryan O'Hearn or any of these other guys that they were talking about before they made the Devers deal. They're not bad guys, but they're not a dude. And you can even tell last night in the lineup, Devers comes up for the first time, hits a double, knocks in a run. Comes up late in the game, hits a single, extends the game. And we'll get into the game a little bit more in a second, but just every time he came up, and I don't know if this is going to fade or not. Believe me, I was working and then I got the TV here in the studio and I had it on. But every time he came up, I was back on my couch watching. And that's going to be that way for a long time. And if I'm flipping channels and Devers is up, I'm going to make sure that I'm watching Rafael Devers because I just don't know what he's ever going to do. That's the definition of a dude. And that's the difference between a guy who's got the analytics and he's staring at it and that's all he's looking at, which was what Farhan was, and Buster Posey, who's going to combine the two. It's not that he's ignoring the numbers because you're stupid if you ignore the numbers. But is he a dude? That's what he just said. And the Giants are getting back to that to a certain extent. Rafael Devers is a dude. Whatever the numbers say, the numbers say. And oh, by the way, they're good. He's got some of the best numbers. And I showed you this yesterday, the day before. I showed you all the hit rates and the charts and all the different things and hard hit rate and barrel rate. I showed you all that stuff. But the reality is it just boils down to, is he a dude? And Buster was a dude. So he can identify what a dude is. And whatever he is, I just know that when I was watching him in the box last night, and it's unfair, I expected something to happen. and the pitcher on the mound knows, like, I got to, maybe I'm going to pitch around this guy. Maybe, you know, that's why they have Willie Peralta hitting Willie Adames hitting in the two hole, because he's going to see pitches now. It's going to help him. Now, look, Casey Schmidt was in, not Matt Chapman. Maybe last night's different without him. It's a disappointing loss. As I say right there, 1-for-13 on the chalkboard, 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position last night. That's what they were. So, yeah, that's not great. But getting away from the analytics a little bit to say that guy's a dude, going back to the tradition of the Giants, we learned that during the press conference. How's Buster going to be different? How's Buster going to do these things? Bringing guys to spring training, embracing the past, you know, making sure that these guys feel welcome. That's important. This is one of the best franchises in baseball, and you may not think those small details matter, but they do. And all of a sudden, moving forward, and look at what Buster has done. Maybe Willie Adames hasn't been what we think, or maybe what he'll be, but he got him to sign here. Because what did Adames say? But Buster Posey. What is Devers looking? He's looking at Barry Bonds going, damn. He was asked during the press conference, how could he help you? Just by looking, he goes, just by looking at him, I think I'm a better hitter. Like all these things, and Buster's bringing all that back, and it matters. I think it matters to fans. I think it matters to other players who may sign here. I think that they're just doing things a different way. We're one of the best franchises in baseball. Farhan forgot that. And Buster Posey embraces that. And others are going to follow because he doesn't take a back seat to the Dodgers. He doesn't think that the Dodgers have a better tradition than what the Giants do or the Yankees or the Red Sox or the whatever franchise you want to talk about. He looks at the Giants, Buster Posey, is on a par with all those teams, and he's right. So stop acting like a small market, mid-market. We're the little brother over here just up in Northern California, and the Dodgers are going to dominate everything. That's not how Buster thinks. He thinks like a player. A player doesn't walk into Dodger Stadium thinking, well, we're already beat on this game. Buster never thought that. He walked into a game going, we're winning, and I will help us do that. That was his mentality. He didn't think they were going to lose, and that's the mentality he's bringing to president of baseball operations. We're not inferior to the Dodgers. We just got Rafael Devers. We've got enough pitching. He may not be done doing this. Believe me, he was asked for that by Kruk and Kipe yesterday, and I thought it was hilarious. He goes, hey, man, you guys aren't supposed to do that to me. Basically, Kipe said to him, you don't have to be done, right? And they don't. So we'll see. But I thought that was really important, and I wanted to tie that in with Willie Mays, just the tradition of what Buster Posey was saying. So again, episode 169, 1 year since Mays, the Devers debut. Let me show the – I think I have the box score, do I? Yeah, I do. Let me show the box score with you last night, just how terrible this was as far as outside of Devers. There's your lovely box score. And as you can see right there, RISP, team RISP right there, 1-for-13. Smith did get that single right up the middle. That was the only one of the night. So 1-of-13. Not the greatest night by Robbie Ray. He can certainly do better. And again, when you look at it, you're going, okay, well, he pitched six and gave up three, and that's called a quality start. It was okay. He got 100 pitches in. I expect more. I think Robbie Ray is great. And if you can throw 100 pitches, you can only give up three, and you pitch six. That's solid. But I do expect more. And then you look here at the rest of the relievers. They shut it down. Rodriguez, great throw from Ramos to keep it at 3-2 going into the ninth inning. So the pitching held up their end of the deal. I told you this yesterday with him. Four runs, that's the key. Four runs is the key. And if they score three or less, they're now 12-21. That's how it goes. You score four or more, they're 29-10. Four or more, they're 12-21, three or less. Four is the magic number. Four is the magic number. So there you go. So last night, Devers gets a couple of hits. Hitting in the three hole. Willie Adames walked and had a couple of hits, so I expect him to be better. He's finally above the Mendoza line. That was a good at bat by Jung-Hoo Lee late in the game. Ramos got two base on balls, and he got hit with a pitch, which scared me. When you get hit in that range, you get hit in the elbow. Casey Schmidt, I don't know what to say. Every time you think he's coming around, he had that grand slam in Colorado. He looks, or excuse me, in LA. He looks like he's coming around a little bit. And then all of a sudden, he just does dumb stuff. Sometimes it seems to me that things are just too big for Casey Schmidt at the major league level. You just think he's coming around. And then in the eighth inning, that was a line drive right to Stephen Kwan. Like, that ball wasn't even close. You know, I mean, pick up your third base coach, but you didn't even have to really do that. He gets out way too far, gets doubled off second base. It's like, what are you doing? And then in the ninth inning, and I've looked back at this play, Jung-Hoo Lee probably doesn't score. That's a medium fly ball, short to medium fly ball into left field right down the line. Kwan has a great arm in left field, one of the best in baseball. Analytics will tell you that. He made a good throw. Casey Schmidt's hitting a little bit better, and he's hitting 417 with the bases loaded, so I get it. You know, they know all those things before that ball is even hit to left field. But, man, in hindsight's easily 20-20, but I'm thinking to myself, is it a better chance for Jung-Hoo Lee, your fastest player, to put pressure on the left fielder to make a perfect throw or to leave it up to Casey Schmidt against Emmanuel Clase, who's blown the most saves in Major League Baseball over the last couple of years, but just has nasty stuff. And even though Casey Schmidt's doing a much better job of laying off sliders, balls away, balls in the dirt, he just couldn't do it against Class A. And I'm thinking to myself, should Matt Williams have sent Lee? He's probably out by a mile. So At first I was mad and I was screaming at the TV going, you got to let it run there. And then Schmidt comes up and does what he does. And so you're going, that's not a great situation. So they lose in the debut. I'm not down on anything because you look at that lineup and Chapman's going to be in that place and not Casey Schmidt. So Chapman's going to extend the lineup a little bit more. Dominic Smith is off to a nice start. I don't think he's going to be that way for a long time. But the thing is that it seems to me, in fact, let me just do this with Bob Melvin. Hope Devers is going to work in because I don't know how much longer we're going to see Dominic Smith. He's off to a really nice start, so maybe the Giants keep him anyway. But Wilmer Flores had the late pinch hit, which, by the way, did not love. And I'm doing that on first guessing, not second guessing. It was first and second, and Flores comes up. Now, I thought Flores was going to bounce into a double play, not have Casey Schmidt do something stupid in the eighth inning, and that was the double play. Flores hit the ball hard. It was just right at Kwan, who then doubled up Schmidt, and I thought in that situation, I didn't love it. But I understood the rationale behind it because that was the only time you could use him. But as far as first base is concerned, it seems to me that Devers and Flores are going to flip that spot, so I don't know where that's going to leave Dom Smith, even though he's off to a nice start. Here's Bob Melvin yesterday in the press conference talking about how they're going to work Rafael Devers in the field.
We talked to him a little bit today, and like he said, he goes, I'll play wherever you want me to play. I'll hit wherever you want me to hit. So that's how it started. He's going to DH today. He's going to hit in the three spot. We're going to work him in and get him some ground balls at first and make sure he's comfortable before we put him over there. And that's pretty much the way we look at it right now, a little bit of DH and a little bit of first.
All right. So I don't know what happened as far as Boston is concerned. Wouldn't play first base, comes over here, kumbaya, everything's great. Yeah, I'll play first. I'll hit wherever you want. I don't know. It seems to me that he had a problem with Craig Breslow, their general manager, who ironically enough did play but is also an Ivy League guy. But it seems like he had a problem with Breslow. I don't know how he approached it, whatever the case may be. But all of a sudden, Devers is coming to San Francisco going, first base? Sure, why not? So I think it's going to be Devers at first, Fitzgerald at second, Adames at short, Chapman at third, Bailey catching, Ramos in left, Jung-Hoo Lee in center, and Yaz in right. I would like an upgrade either at second base or right field as far as the sticks are concerned. I think they still need that, even with Devers. But he's going to play first base. He's a good athlete. I don't think it's going to be a problem for Rafael Devers, but he hadn't played in the field all season long. Now, I'm not saying first base is easy, but he did take some grounders, you can see right there, before the game at first base. Now, these are easy balls. It's not like, you know, he's stressing or anything like that at first base, but he could probably play it sooner rather than later. As far as what a guy like Bryce Eldridge does at any point, I don't know. I know that Eldridge hit another rope to right field. I did not check his batting average today. I have no idea what's going on with Bryce Eldridge other than every time there's a video of it, we all scream and yell that he should come up. But now with Devers at first base, I think we can slow that process down. But sooner rather than later, I would imagine that Rafael Devers is going to be at first base. And then one more from Bob Melvin, and then that's it from the press conference, and we'll have to go to yesterday's show. Here's Bob talking about what Devers' presence in the lineup does for everybody.
In the lineup and how they can help the other hitters.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's incredibly impactful to have a guy like him in our lineup. So I think the buzz around our clubhouse on Sunday and leaving Sunday and certainly in the off day and today has been, you know, it's pretty immense. So look, you know, you pencil him in, we're where you feel like he's comfortable in the lineup and where he'll be most impactful. And today that's the three hole. I imagine it's going to be a lot of the three spot for him. But, I mean, you look at our lineup now, and when we get, you know, healthy and get our guys back, it makes us a really deep lineup with the guy in the middle that I know from the opposing dugout, I always knew where he was and when his spot was coming up, and that's going to be the same way for every manager when we play them.
All right, so there's Bob yesterday, and you saw that just yesterday. I mean, I knew when he was up. I was getting excited when he came up. And again, I don't think that's going to go away anytime soon. And I know that opposing teams know that, and it makes everybody else in the lineup that much better. Give me 1 second. I have a minor emergency. It's no big deal. Give me 1 second. I'll be right back. All right, the joys of doing the show from home, like taking care of what I had to take care of. It was just a neighbor thing. So we got this thing. No, I did not leave the stove on. Nature was not calling. It was just a minor thing that I had to take care of from a noise perspective here outside in the studio, the joys of doing the show from home. All right, where we left off was Bob Melvin talking about Devers and how he makes the lineup better. You know, I was just thinking as I was watching the game last night, when Chapman comes back, Bailey, I know, is not a great hitter, but at times can be a key hitter. He's back. I just, as I'm watching that thing, and he has had a hit last night, nothing against him, Fitzgerald. But I'm just thinking to myself, like, man, just one more, right? I know that I'm getting kind of, I'm trying to hoard everything. But the bottom line of the whole thing is I'm thinking to myself, maybe one. You know, maybe a second baseman, maybe a right fielder, even though I like Yaz, because with Bailey in the lineup, you just know it's a zero. So all of a sudden it falls off pretty fast. Like, you know, even when Chapman comes back, you got your first six, but your 7, 8, 9 is going to be in some way Yastrzemski, Fitzgerald, and Bailey. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, six guys in the lineup. I know that not everybody has, you know, you're not going to go 1 through 9, but the reality is maybe just one more stick. But anyway, having Devers in the lineup, I mean, just yesterday, when he's coming up to the plate, you're just thinking to yourself, it's just a different thing. You know, the way he works at bats, the way it's just going to be, it's going to be great for the entire lineup. So that was cool to watch yesterday. It is episode 169, 1 year since Mays. We played that for you. Devers' debut, 1-for-13, runners in scoring position. Casey Schmidt on Flores, pinch hit. I don't know what he was thinking out there. Gets picked off second base, kills the inning. Ninth inning, he's out. Fact is, it just seems overwhelming for him at times. He's made a lot of base running mistakes. You're going to make mistakes, that's fine. Krook says this all the time. Krook and Kipe last night. Krook is like, look, mental mistakes just can't happen. You make a physical mistake, okay. But in terms of a mental mistake, you just can't have those kind of things. The lead tag, like I said, at times, and I got hit up with this at John Lund Radio by people, and people were like, should he have tagged? Should he have tagged? What do you think? Should he have run? It's a 50-50 because at the time, Matt Williams is thinking to himself, okay, I know he knows the whole situation. Where the ball's got to be in a certain situation. They know that Armand Kwan, which is a really good one, he knows that Casey Schmidt is coming up next. He knows all those kind of things. And he didn't send him. Would they, you know, in retrospect, after seeing Schmidt's a bat, of course he would have sent him. But that's just not what they were going to do. One more thing from the press conference I'm going to play for you. And this is Rafael Devers. This is the only one I'm going to play from Devers because, like I said, we have that whole show. This is our good friend Carlos Ramirez from NBC Sports Bay Area, bilingual, I should say, himself. Talking to Devers about the ballpark. And this was generally Devers' response to everything yesterday.
Right here, NBC Sports Bay Area. You've only played 3 games here at Oracle. It's different dimensions, different weather from Boston. How do you think your offense will have to change, even your approach, playing here?
Las dimensiones aquí son diferentes, Rafi. Bienvenido a San Francisco. Ha jugado nada más 3 veces acá. Es diferente a Boston, el clima y el parque. ¿Cómo crees que tu ofensiva o tu approach tiene que cambiar en este estadio?
Es la misma pelota, no tengo que cambiar nada, el mismo baseball, y vengo a dar lo mejor de mí.
It's the same baseball. You just play the same way, and like I said, I'm just here to give my 100%.
All right, so that last part is what he said about 92 times during that press conference. If you want to surmise it, I would hope that you would go and watch yesterday's show, after the press conference, the whole recap I did. But if you don't and I could surmise it, I'm just here to play baseball. What happened in Boston? I'm just here to play baseball. What about the ballpark? I'm just here to play baseball. Like that was his answer to everything. And hopefully he can keep that kind of an attitude, which is as he's getting, you know, a ball goes into Triple's alley that he thinks, you know, it's going to be a home run and he gets robbed by it. We'll see. The other thing, and he did this yesterday, and people don't realize this about his swing, casual fans don't, he's an oppo guy. So his second hit was oppo. He's going to hit oppo tacos into the left field stands. He would have a lot more home runs. I know this is crazy, and I said this yesterday. He had 15 home runs. By the numbers, by the analytics, he'd have 26 if he was at Oracle Park because of how many times he hit the ball off the monster. And we'll see Fenway Park with George a little bit later on in the show. But he'd actually have 11 more home runs, as crazy as that sounds, on the year if he played at Oracle Park, which you're like, what? Whoa, how many would he have robbed in right field? Only a couple. But he hits a lot of balls oppo, so we'll see as far as that goes what happens. But just to surmise his thought process, look, it's the first day. He's feeling great. He met Barry Bonds. He respects the hell out of Bonds and Posey and the organization. He'll play anywhere you want. Doesn't want to talk about Boston. Doesn't care about the ballpark. And he is truly one of those hitters that it's actually 100% true. Ballpark for some players, you know, the Barry Bonds of the world, the Rafael Devers, the Aaron Judge types, there's certain hitters where it's like, whatever, man, we're playing at a park. The ball is white and round. We're good. Like it's okay. Like he's not going to be one of those guys. He can hit it all over the yard. He can line drive it. He can go oppo. He's got power. Like, you know, is he going to get robbed sometimes and be pissed balls in Triple's alley that should have been a home run and he thought maybe he nutted it and was like, what the hell? Like, yeah, of course. But he seems like one of those guys that's like, look, I'll be fine. Don't worry about me. So there you go. That is the latest on that. Schmidt sucked, lead tag, pressers, Buster on tradition, Rafi on the park. Melvin talks about where he's going to play and the lineup and how much better it's going to be with Rafael Devers. So as I put there, a debut downer, but I'm not really down on anything. I mean, Robbie Ray could pitch better, but pitch solid. He pitched solid enough to win. But 2 runs just aren't going to get it done. And whether that's with Rafael Devers or anybody, 4 is their magic number. 29-10 with 4 runs or more. 10-23 now when they don't, when they score three or less. That's just what it comes down to. So they've got to be better. And Devers did his part. He had two hits. And by the way, after the game, he said he was nervous. He said he was amped up. So imagine what happens when this dude relaxes. I mean, we're going to probably expect too much out of the guy. Like, hey, man, you came here. You got to get hit every time you're a bat. Like, he struck out a couple of times last night. I was like, the hell, bro? What, did you strike it out? Like, unbelievable. So anyway, there you go. That is the latest as far as Devers is concerned, Melvin is concerned, Buster is concerned. And if you want more, like I said, just make sure that you hit me up yesterday's show. I posted that. Well, I did it in the afternoon, and then I put it out. What did I put it out? About 9 o'clock last night, I think it shot out, because I wanted it to be after the game. You can take a look at it. So again, late last night, however you look at it, I sent that whole press conference out and did a whole show on it. All right. The reason why I wanted to talk about garlic, well, before I get to garlic fries, let me just anything from yesterday, questions, comments, thoughts. Do remember, if you want to support the show and at the same time get your questions, comments, or thoughts on the show, all you have to do is hit me with a super. So let me make sure that nobody else has got anything on either Willie Mays, the game last night, Casey Schmidt, whether Lee should have tagged, or anything on Rafael Devers. If not, I'm going to move on to fries. I'm going to tell you why I'm going to do that in just a second. No, you know what? Yesterday was garbage day. It wasn't that. It was just, and I wasn't necessarily fighting with my neighbors. That's not necessarily what it was. But there's something, it's something like, not a fight. I wouldn't call it a fight. Anyway, it's something, but it's not a fight. I'm not going to say that. Let's see. Good morning to, did I say good morning to Joji and Pine Needle and other people that have stepped in? Fozzie, did I say good morning to you? Good morning, good morning, good morning. As we've got a bunch of people in the chat room today. Very, very cool. All right, let me do the garlic fries thing. Now, you know garlic fries, and I don't know why this hit me the way it did, but I saw it on social media today, and it got me to thinking of my dad. And like I told you, he was Fryman. Lived in Idaho later in his life. He was a major distributor of French fries. You probably ate many French fries that he either sold, distributed, helped produce, whatever the case may be. That was his whole life, French fries. And so I was bummed this morning, to be completely honest with you, for the first time in a long time. My dad passed away in 2014. So, you know, there's no reason to be sorry or anything. You know, you just, anybody who's had anyone close to them pass in life, you don't ever get over it. You just get used to it. I mean, that's what I tell everybody that's going through something like that. You don't get over it, you get used to it. We were very, very close. But it's been about 11 years. So, you know, I'm fine. And so, anyway, there's very few times at the beginning when someone close passes away and you called them a lot, or you texted them a lot. It's kind of hard because it's almost instinctual that you will text them or call them or want to call them or text them. I used to call my dad's number just to hear his voice in a voicemail, you know, but those days have passed and I don't, you know, I know that I can't call him or talk to him or whatever. But there was this piece that was done on garlic fries, and it made me think to myself, man, I wish I could have played this for my pops because he would have been excited about it. So I'm going to play it for you, and you know garlic fries, but I'm just going to play it because I can't play it for him.
Giants. The two are almost synonymous. An iconic franchise, an iconic snack. The Giants have been serving them up since they played at Candlestick Park, and the Gilroy garlic stands have been a mainstay at Oracle Park since the day it opened in 2000. But what is it about these garlic fries that set them apart from the dry, vaguely garlicky fries served at other sporting events? Well, we asked. Meet Chef George Peterson.
The biggest thing that we do is here, we do fresh parsley. We do chop the parsley by hand. We use raw garlic, so raw garlic is definitely a very intense flavor. It's just a really fresh product with really fresh ingredients that we make on the moment. Probably between 1,000 to 1,200 pounds of fries a game, something along those lines. The garlic fries have been served since Candlestick Park. They actually started off, I believe, in the late 80s, early 90s, and it was an accompaniment with one of our breweries that was on the park serving beer. It was served in one stand that served beer. The line was so long for that we decided to put it into three additional while it was in Candlestick. Now we have it in approximately seven different stands here at the park. Your entire body smells like garlic for at least a day once you've made a bunch of them. So it's a very pungent odor that sticks with you and sticks to your clothes. We did sell 256,000 orders of fries in last year. You can circle the bases 4,800 times with that and go.
I wanted to play that. You get the idea, but I wanted to play that for him. Like I was this morning, like, oh, because like fries were his whole life. Fries were my dad's whole life. Like I said, his license plate from Idaho, potato capital of the world, said Fryman. I mean, everybody, that's how they identified him. So I was like, oh my God, I can't play this for him. But did you get 1,000 to 1,200 pounds of fries per game? And I got to be honest, they are good. I mean, they are good. You got to admit. I don't know. I mean, we could have a poll right now. Are they the best thing at Oracle Park? See, I am always, when it comes to baseball, I've told you this before. I'm not a huge beer guy. I'd much rather have a whiskey or an old fashioned or something like that. But at a ballpark, especially when it's warm, a beer is great. And with a beer at a ballpark, a hot dog goes great. It's almost like, you know, you eat breakfast at breakfast and lunch at lunch, whatever. My body is conditioned, and I don't know if you feel the same way, that when you go to a ballpark, you drink beer, you eat hot dogs. That's just what it is. So even if you go out to left field and there's crazy crab sandwiches and all the different things that they have out there, and every ballpark is like this now, and they all have these specialty things and, you know, this, that, and the other, and everybody wants to outdo everybody at all these ballparks, it just doesn't matter to me. Like, I don't go out and eat, you know, other, you know, things other than traditional baseball food. That's just what I am. That's just how my body is conditioned. So if I go to the yard, I buy a big bag of peanuts, and they used to have these things called hot nuts. And I, by the way, I got to bring hot nuts back to the show for the new people who don't understand, but I don't think they have those anymore. So they have the traditional peanuts. The hot nuts were like a spicy hot, which are really good, but they were in the shell. But so the traditional peanuts every single time, a hot dog or some kind of a sausage every single time. My son's a popcorn guy. I'm not. My son's a pretzel guy. I'm not. I mean, they're okay, but it's not really what I do. And then I'm trying to think if I do anything non-traditional. Not really. Like, I don't eat a burger at a park. I don't care what the specialty things are at a park. Somebody's got a churro or I think in Arizona, don't they have that dingbat thing or whatever that's like this giant corn dog, whatever. Right, every park has all sorts of weird stuff. Seattle had the chocolate-covered crickets for a while. Like, whatever. Like, whatever your specialty is, not interested. I'm going to do some sort of a sausage or a dog or something like that. It might be a brat, it might be a Polish, it might be a fire, it might be a whatever, but I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do a few beers, and I'm going to do some peanuts. That's just what I do. And they can have all the different specialty things, and I've had garlic fries. They're really, really good. And what he talked about is amazing. 1,000 to 1,200 pounds a game, and they use real garlic and the parsley, and, you know, when you've had them, it's like, it is overwhelming. It is overwhelming. And then when you talk to someone after they've had them, you're like, oh, bro, woo. Like, it's garlicky. And everybody likes garlic, but love of God, man. And you can smell those things a mile away. Like, you come around that corner. I don't know. I know they got, what they say, 7 different stands, but you come around that corner, the main one, the Gilroy garlic fries one that they showed. And then you come around the corner, you're like, oh, it's overwhelming. And if you've never had them, you got to have them. I mean, they're great. I'm not saying they're not. It's just, it's not my thing. Like, there you go. Mary just said nachos. Mary, nachos are awesome. By the way, that was playing. Somebody, this is a great, so I lived in Pittsburgh. Christian says, I was in Pittsburgh last month. They put fries on their salad. So here's the deal, Christian. There's a lot of people know this. There's a sandwich company that's extremely popular there. It's called Permane Brothers. And it goes back to, I can't even remember where, but basically that people wanted these sandwiches to go, and they're amazing. And you wonder why everybody in Pittsburgh is not exactly svelte. Well, what they do with their sandwiches at Permane Brothers is they put everything on it. By that, I mean, so the meat, if you just do the basic Permane Brothers sandwich, it's meat, it's this really good slaw, tomatoes. I don't know if it's onions. I don't know if that's traditional, but they put the fries on the sandwich. The fries are on the sandwich. And like, you're like, can I have them on the side? They're like, no, you can't have them on the side. Like, pick them off if you want. But everything's on the sandwich, because then when you're going down the road, you don't have to eat your fries separately. You just eat them. And it sounds gross. It is awesome. But the thing is that's a traditional Permane Brothers. So you could have like a roast beef or different, you know, whatever the kind of thing is. And they put the fries on the sandwich. And the bread is amazing. And so you eat those things. And people in Pittsburgh just think that's a regular old lunch. And to me, it's like if I do a burrito in San Francisco, breakfast burrito, I don't put the potatoes on it. It's just way too filling to me. And you can say that that's sacrilege or whatever the case may be, but I don't want the starch in the sandwich. I don't want it in the burrito. Like, if I want it off the side and have a few, that's fine. But it's like, it's just a gut bar. But anyway, it's Permane Brothers. And when I first moved to Pittsburgh, and they're big in going to lunch there. Like, to me, it was like, I'm just work through lunch, or I'll grab a bar and some water or whatever, stay at my desk. Like, no. And they would go out every day. And so I was running a station, ESPN radio in Pittsburgh, ESPN 1250 in Pittsburgh. And they would go out every day. And my show wasn't until the afternoon. So I was like, all right. And I would go out with these people and they would eat these gut bomb sandwiches that I'm not kidding you were piled this high. And it was meat and lettuce and tomato and, you know, all the fixings and all that kind of stuff. And then the fries, salty, hot fries right on the sandwich. Wonderful, soft, great bread. And don't get me wrong, but like two bites into these gigantic sandwiches and I'm done. And these people are like, oh, like they're eating the whole thing. And I wanted to take a nap. Like, I'm like, I gotta go to sleep. But that was the tradition. And Permane Brothers were everywhere. I mean, I had 8 or 10 locations in the greater Pittsburgh area. And then they had them at Steeler games and everything. And that was their big thing. Permane Brothers fries on the sandwich. And it's good. Don't get me wrong. But when people would want to eat there a couple of times a week, I mean, I gained 20 pounds in Pittsburgh in a minute. And I'm like, I got to stop doing this. Like, I'm not going to lunch with you guys anymore. And they would go between like, I mean, whatever the special place was, they like Hooters there with those like wings that had the breading on them. I was like, I'm good. Plus, a Hooters in Pittsburgh is exactly what you think a Hooters in Pittsburgh would be. As far as the women were concerned, and you graded them on a curve, it was like they were threes, but in Pittsburgh, they were like a nine, you know? And it was like, no, like, I'm not going. That's what they did. They rotated between Permane Brothers, Hooters, like Applebee's. And it was like, they got the ribs like at lunch. I want my baby back. And I'm like, you can't eat that at lunch. Like, it's all over your suit. You got a white shirt on. You can't eat that much at lunch. They would just pile it in at lunch. And I'm like, I can't do that. Anyway, there you go. True story. yeah, you're 100% right. You can't even eat half of it. I mean, it's insane. You know, I'm just like, I'm not even joking you. The sandwich was so big and it was really good, but they put so much meat on it, as you would think they would do in Pittsburgh. And all the, you know, like I said, the lettuce, or it was a slaw is what they did. And then the tomatoes and everything. And then they pile the fries on it. I'm not kidding you. It's this high. And you're like, how the hell do I even eat that? And they would make fun of me because I would take the bread off the top and eat some of the fries to make it go down a little bit. But fries, they're a side item. So it's like, if I have a sandwich, for example, and I don't eat fries a whole lot, but if I eat a sandwich, for example, or something with fries, I'm going to eat that main thing. And then I might have 10 French fries, right? But that with that thing, it's like, you got to eat the whole thing. And then they look at you like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, you know, and they knew I was a West Coast guy. They're like, West Coast guy, you're soft. Anyway, it's good. Don't get me wrong. It's just don't eat. Yeah, just don't eat. Yeah, there you go. California burrito and Santa has the fries in the burrito instead of rice. No, no go. Hi, Richard. No go. Like I said, I like rice in a burrito. I just, the breakfast burritos when they put in, it's really, really good. But when I was at KNBR, there was a place right across the street and they had a chorizo breakfast burrito that was out of this world. It was so good. And we were in North Beach. And so there were great burrito places all over, but I could do like the eggs, the chorizo, all, you know, whatever. But when they put the potatoes in there, it was like, I could have like two bites of it. So I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Just keep the potatoes out. That's all I want to do. And it's outstanding. And I can still even only do that like once or twice a month. I mean, just still a bomber. Anyway, all right, we just got into food, which is, of course, random things that happen throughout the show. Oh, my God. That's a good call right there. They got the food truck, Senior CSIG, the food truck. Oh, my God. They used to park that thing about two blocks from KNBR every once in a while. And when they did that, like, it'd go like wildfire around the office. Like, Senior CSIG, like, two blocks down. We're like, right down there. Didn't matter. Like, show start, man. Don't care. Play 10 minutes of commercials. We got to get something from there first. The place is really good. All right. Let's see. What else do we have today? We just got off on burritos. Just talked about garlic fries. Anyway. Oh, very cool, man. Yeah. So you go to Permane. My son's at Pitt. I go to Permane all the time. Slathered in everything. Yeah. Great sauces. Great call right there. Yeah. Your son's at Pitt. You know what? It's been so long that I'll age myself here for a second. When I was in Pittsburgh, that's where my son was born. Larry Fitzgerald was at Pitt. That's how long it's been. Larry Fitzgerald was at Pitt when I was in Pittsburgh. He was freshman at Pittsburgh at Pitt or something like that. That's how long it's been. And his son actually is a big time recruit now. And I think he's going to Clemson, if I'm not mistaken. Grew up in Arizona, and I think he's going to Clemson. So anyway, yeah, that's how long ago I was in Pittsburgh. The Steelers beat the Seahawks in the Super Bowl, at Super Bowl 40, and Larry Fitzgerald was a freshman at Pitt. That's how long ago it's been, so it's a long time. But anyway, yeah, for Manning Brothers, an institution. So you know, your son goes to Pitt, you know that. All right, there you go. What else do we have? Very cool, man. Let's see, did anything else? Okay. Okay, Cali burritos, very nice. I love God, burrito sounds so good right now. Amazing. You know what? Let's see. Oh, you're in Salt Lake. Are you really in Salt Lake City? No good burritos in Salt Lake City, not anything good. West side of Salt Lake City. Red Iguana in Salt Lake City is good Mexican food. If you go, you have to go west of Salt Lake City, which can be iffy. But there are some good Mexican restaurants there. If you're talking about SLC as in Salt Lake City, Red Iguana and Blue Iguana are two good restaurants there. And I know Red Iguana does good burritos, but I'm just saying. And I haven't been to Salt Lake City for a number of years, but I think it's still there. I could be wrong, but we shall see. All right. What else do we have? You're kind of, thanks 49ers faithful. Yeah, it was funny. They asked him three different times and they didn't even change up the questions about the ballpark. I mean, literally, and he was like, as I just told you, I don't care. Red Iguana's trash. It didn't used to be. That's all I'm saying. There was one on the west side of Salt Lake City that used to be really good. And I know there was a Blue Iguana somewhere. I don't remember where, but it was downtown, and that one was pretty good. I'm trying to think if there are any other Mexican restaurants I could think of there. Not very many, though. You're not wrong, because those are the only ones I remember that were any good. Yeah, I would think that Nashville, I've been to Nashville a couple of times, never had Mexican food in Nashville. But yeah, I would imagine that that's kind of far away from Mexico. So I'm thinking that, yeah, that's probably not the best Mexican food that you could probably get. Anyway, all right, there you go. Good discussion on food. All right, let me give you this before we get out of here today. And again, I apologize for being late. We had some weird technical difficulties that I was actually taking care of actually during the show. But let me give you one more thing. What was this? Oh, that's the Willie Mays thing. All right, make sure that we played everything for you today and we didn't let you, yeah, we got everything. All right, so here's the story on George. For those who are regular watchers, viewers, listeners of the show, my son George, and I'm not gonna go off on some, like, you know, everybody's putting their kid on Facebook and everything. I'm not gonna overdo this. But those who don't know, he's a senior at Arizona State, goes to the Walter Cronkite Broadcast School. For some reason, I tried to talk him out of it. He wants to be in media. He's doing a lot better than I did as far as his approach to it and all these kind of things. He has done some play-by-play. He's done, obviously, a lot of social media, but he covered the Super Bowl last year. He's working this year. Next year, he's going to be covering ASU football, actually traveling with ASU, Arizona State football. And anyway, he's done a tremendous job. They do a great job at Arizona State. If you're thinking of sending your kid for broadcast school, Cronkite at Arizona State is great. Syracuse is great. Missouri is great. Northwestern's great. Washington State's got a great program. He did look at Washington State, decided to go to Arizona State. So he's working for a team, the Whitecaps. I forgot what the first name of the Whitecaps are. But anyway, it's in the Cape Cod League. And today, and he's a huge Red Sox fan, huge, all that kind of stuff. So he calls me yesterday and he says, hey, man, they're going to go down and practice at Fenway Park. And I'm going down to Fenway Park. He had never been there. And so if you've never been to Fenway, it's like dropped in the middle of the neighborhood, much like Wrigley. It's just awesome. But anyway, he's like, yeah, I'm going to have full access to Fenway Park. It's going to be really cool. And so this morning he sends me some pictures and then he posts this video. And I swear, you don't know him obviously as well, but it's almost like he's hyperventilating because normally he's very chill. Nothing really gets to him. He's one of those kind of kids. Doesn't really get excited about anything. You're like, hey, George, you know, you just won $1 million. Cool, man. You know, like he doesn't get excited about anything really, but he's almost hyperventilating here. And so he did a social media post at G Lund Media, by the way, is what he is on Twitter and all these other social media channels. But here he is at Fenway Park this morning. Brewster, that's it. Brewster Whitecaps is the team he's working for. And they were practicing at Fenway Park this morning. And he was almost hyperventilating. He was so excited to be there. So here is his social media post from Fenway this morning. And yes, if you're going to ask, he still has the mustache. Here he is.
Live from Fenway Park, I am George Lund. Since I am from the West Coast, nobody is awake right now for me to FaceTime or annoy or show how cool this is, but I had to tell somebody, and I saw a lot of people taking videos, so I thought I would give an update about how cool this is. We are here with the Brewster Whitecaps. They're practicing today. They're practicing on Fenway Field, Fenway Park, and we are here. As a writer, I thought I would be tucked away in a corner or maybe a small closet, but in fact, we have free rein to walk around the lower section of the field. We are cut off, so I can't run up the Green Monster and have my fun up there, but we are allowed to be here. I was actually the first person here, and I walked in, and a lady told me that I wasn't supposed to be here, and being that I know no better, I said, maybe you're right. And then somebody else said, you know, he is in the right place, and he's allowed to go wherever. She seemed a little mad about that, but, you know, anyways, we're here. But Fenway gets a clean 10 out of 10 for me. I mean, this is possibly one of the coolest things I've ever seen. I mean, I can literally walk as close to the field as possible. It is sad that they didn't give me field access. Rather, I don't use or need a camera with what I do, so it does make sense that they wouldn't allow me to do that. So I can't get the full experience, but I got about as close as possible. But thought I'd give a little update. We'll see how the practice goes. I got a story to write. I got some interviews to do, which will make for a pretty cool backdrop here. But man, there's no ASU players here. I'd love to get some good Fenway ASU content, but can't be done. I'm always thinking about content, but signing off here. Fenway's pretty cool. Probably cooler than Oracle and SF. I think it's a cloudy day out because they recently lost a third baseman. And maybe I'm the savior that they need at third base.
I mean, just rambling on. Maybe I could play third base. Of course, he's talking about Devers, and because he's a Red Sox fan, oh, it's a great day and all this kind of stuff. He did, by the way, and I have more pictures, but I'm not going to be the Facebook dad here. He did eventually get on the field. He did take a bunch of pictures. He did post all that stuff at GLund Media. And the thing that's so funny about it is, and I didn't know this, is that so he's staying, you know, with a group in a house in Cape Cod covering the Brewster Whitecaps up there in the Cape Cod League for the summer. That's his internship from ASU. And he takes this picture, and the other four interns that he's working with are all really cute girls. And I'm like, come on. Like, this kid's got it all. He goes to Arizona State. He's in the Cape Cod for the summer, covering baseball, writing baseball, doing all this kind of stuff, living his life, having the mustache. And then he takes this picture, and again, at GLund Media. In fact, I could pull this up real quick. Let me see, because I got to show you this thing. Let me see if I can do this real quick and show you what he's got going here. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, only this kid could get this lucky. Oh, by the way, Jair Alexander to the Ravens. I told you the 49ers had no interest in that. GLund Media. Here is right here. I'm going to pop this up real quick for you just because I think it's ridiculous that that this is his life. God, he's got tons of videos on here. Or maybe he didn't post this on this media channel. I don't know. Maybe he did it on Instagram. So let me see. Just really, really quick. Sorry. Nah, I don't think he did. Nah. Okay. So I could be wrong here. So, I mean, I'm not wrong. It's just that he didn't. Yeah, he didn't post that. All right. So I stand corrected. I think he did it on Instagram. He's GLund Media on Instagram, so you can go look it up. But he's taking this picture, and he gets down to Fenway onto the field, like he said he wasn't going to have, but he did. And then it's like he takes this picture, and you know, I'm thinking, okay, he's going to have like four, you know, some guys with him, whatever. It's four really pretty girls, and I'm like, are you kidding me? And apparently, one of them lives with him. I didn't know that. I'm learning just like you're learning. Just Bucky Dent loves the Green Monster. He does, absolutely, he does. But anyway, there you go. Didn't want to do too much of a proud papa moment. I just thought that was funny. I mean, you know, I mean, again, he did, if you're around, he did the New Orleans stuff for us, and he did the walk and talk. And I mean, you know, it was George Kittle. He's not intimidated by that. You know, he's just talking normal and stuff like that, and blah, 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 because that's his personality. But he's at Fenway. He's like, oh my God, this is the greatest day of my life. Oh my God, this is the greatest ballpark. I think this is the greatest thing ever. This woman wasn't going to kick me out, and I didn't think I was going to do it. And I've got a story to write. I got interviews to write. And he's like, oh. And I'm like, slow down, champ. What are you doing? But he's like, he's at Fenway Park for the first time. And he's like, oh my God, this is the greatest moment of my life. And I'm like, okay, very cool. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you as well. Yeah, very cool. I thought it was a very cool moment. And just, you know, it's fun. Beginning of your career, and you got all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Yeah, like I said, he is living the dream. There is no question about it. I am extremely jealous of what he's doing. But, you know, I love my life too. And if my wife is listening or watching, of course, I'd much rather be doing this with you, of course. All right. I think that is episode 169. 1 year since Willie Mays, the Devers' debut, 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position. As we go down the chalkboard, Schmidt sucked. Eighth inning. I don't know what you're thinking. Lee, should he have tagged up? I thought so at the time, but no, when you double back and look at it. Buster, speaking of Willie Mays, talking about the tradition at the press conference and bringing it back, plus saying Devers is a dude. It's not all about analytics anymore with the Giants. Rafi talking about the park he'll play, any position. Bob Melvin talking about where he'll play, when he'll play there. Also about what he means to the lineup. Garlic fries, my dad would have been proud, and Gio at Fenway. By the way, my dad was George. He's George. We got two Georges. And there you go. So that is episode 169. Any more questions, comments, thoughts? Yeah, George does not have low T. George does not have low T. He could use a haircut, though, and that mustache. Just so you know, I've tried. And they get to a certain age. He's 21. What am I going to do? Tell him to shave the mustache? Too late. It's been going on like 2 years. And that's just what it is. It's the mustache. It's just going to stay. That's just kind of his thing right now. So that's what it is. All right. That'll do it for show today. Please make sure before you get out of here that you give us a like, which helps the algorithm. Make sure that you are subscribe to the channel. Maybe you're watching on X today at John Lund Radio. You could be watching on Instagram at John Lund Radio. Maybe you're watching on LinkedIn or Facebook, any of those places. Please just migrate over for a minute. Go to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Please make sure you subscribe to the channel. Please tell all your friends and enemies as well. If you got any comments, questions, or thoughts, put them right underneath the show if you're watching later. And remember, we're on your favorite podcast way that you listen to the show. So that could be Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcast. If you missed any of the show and you jumped in late, don't worry about it. I'm going to post in just a minute the chapters, and so you can click to whatever you want on YouTube. Make sure you hit up Bay Area Sports Collective as well. All those shows, Tom Tolbert, as well as Polymax Particles with Creative Tony. Amy G is there. Rod Brooks is there. Jeremy Affelt. So great channel as well, the Bay Area Sports Collective, which is that big B in the left-hand corner. You can subscribe right there. You got the QR code for me, the legs. That means Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle. Make sure that you're looking him up, as I told you, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E. My wife is doing the stem cell. I'm doing the low T, but they do all sorts of other great procedures to make you look and feel great. So look him up right now in your favorite search engine, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E. Thanks to Jeffrey Riopelle, our fine sponsor of the program. Debut Downer. That is the episode 169, which is nice. One last check of the board. I think everybody's cool. All right. If we don't have any breaking news today, any trades, craziness, or anything like that, we will be back tomorrow at 9 a.m. sharp. We worked out all the details today. Thank you for being patient with me and my neighbors. You didn't need to see that. No, there was no fight. Everything is just fine. Thank you very much. Everybody have a great rest of your Tuesday. Keep those alerts on because, of course, we have stuff shooting out all to you all day long and you don't want to miss anything. So make sure you're subscribed. Have those alerts on and hit us with a like on John Lund Unleashed. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!